9:6-5, using a church Bible.
His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
And Luke's going to come and speak to us from the passage. Luke's lost his voice almost, so hopefully we'll be able to hear. If not, you'll be put the microphone really high up. Thanks, Luke.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, sorry, my voice is not normal today, so please be patient with me. We'll power through. So if you didn't get a chance to share earlier what your name means, would anyone like to share now if you know what your name means and you'd like to share what it means? Phil?
My name's Lover of Horses, which is
Lover of Horses. Phil, Lover of Horses. Awesome. Anyone else? Name? Blessed. Praise. Anyone else? Yes, Michael. Who is like God? Great. Thank you. Anyone else?
Like a crown.
Like a crown. Great. Okay. Branny. All right. Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Very interesting. Now, usually, as Phil said, when people choose names, nowadays often it's just because, well, we just like the name, or maybe sometimes it's got a nice meaning, and, you know, it's just nice, you know. Or maybe it's a family name. Maybe there are a few Phils or a few Bryanies on your side of the family, so you've kept the name. But what very rarely happens is that a parent will say, "Oh, right, look at this baby. I know that this baby is going to love horses. In fact, he's going to be the leading world expert on horses. We're going to call him Phil," which means horse, lover of horses. Doesn't often happen, does it? Or Bryony, "Oh, look, this beautiful baby girl. She's going to love plants. She's going to be the world's leading horticulturalist." Is that the word? Horticulturalist, yeah. We're going to call her Bryony, which means, what was it again?
A poisonous plant.
It very rarely happens that parents know the future of a child, and so they give them a name accordingly. And yet with Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of history, who lived 2,000 years ago, he's given two names. Before he's born, he's given two names. And what's amazing about Jesus, not just the incredible circumstances of his birth, but actually these two names that he's given tell us who he is and what he came to do. So, he was named Jesus because he was born to save people. He was named Jesus because he was born to save people. So if you've still got Matthew open in front of you, let's look at those verses again. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Mary finds out that she is pregnant and Joseph has nothing to do with it. So understandably, he may have been confused. He may have been worried or anxious or even angry. And so it says that he has in mind to divorce her quietly. So what Joseph could have done, if he wanted to, is he could have got Mary in front of everybody and said, look, everyone, gather round, gather round. Mary's been unfaithful to me. She's made a fool out of me. I've had no involvement in her pregnancy. I want to divorce her. But actually, he doesn't do that because he's a just man. He's a righteous man. He's a kind man. Because of his compassion, he has in mind to divorce her quietly. Maybe just one or two people there for the divorce to happen. That's what Joseph is like. And yet, what happens in verse 20 and 21? After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. They had to call him Jesus. Jesus means God saves. Now, Jesus was a fairly ordinary name at the time. There were plenty of people at the time called Jesus. In fact, even today, people around the world are called Jesus or Jesus or Joshua or Yeshua, has the same kind of root as Jesus. God saves. Now, if you walk along the canal in Killington or along the river, you might see some of these dotted along the canal, dotted along the river. Now, if you're canoeing in the canal or you're just walking on the edge of the canal and you fall in and you cannot swim, you will thrash and you will struggle and you will call out for help. The danger is that if that person cannot swim, that person will drown. Which is why you've got these along the river, so that if someone falls in the river and they're struggling and they're thrashing, that someone can see them and see that they need help, that they need saving, can grab one of these and throw it in, and the person can grab onto it and will keep their head above the water, maybe even be pulled to the bank. This is for rescuing people, for saving people. And what the Bible tells us about Jesus is that Jesus is humanity's life ring. He will save his people, the Bible says. It says he will save his people from their sins. Now, sins isn't a word that we use very much nowadays. What is sin? Well, sometimes we think of sin as being naughty, or maybe even more seriously, an evil thing that we do, a sin. But actually, the Bible has an even deeper, even more all-encompassing meaning for this word sin. Sin is actually our deep-seated, primal rebellion against God, our Creator. And it affects and infects everyone. A helpful way of remembering what sin is this, S-I-N, shove off God, I'm in charge, not you. And the Bible says that this position affects everyone. Everyone who's ever lived. It's not about good people or bad people, but that everyone, from the moment they're born, has this heart position of rebellion against God, their Creator. And Jesus, we're told, came to save us from our sins. We need saving from the power of sin, because sin affects everything. It affects our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is broken. Our relationship with each other is broken and spoiled. We were meant to live in love, in harmony with everyone else, but that's not the case. We're broken. Our relationship with ourselves, if you can put it that way, is broken and messed up because we don't understand ourselves. We don't know what we're here for. We don't know who we were made for. And so we try and find that in other places. We don't understand. Our relationship with ourselves is broken. And our relationship with the world around us is broken, with creation. We were made to grow and cultivate and bless this world and bless others and what we do in this world. But this world, creation, is broken. The Bible says it's groaning. We need saving from the power of sin, don't we? And also that we need saving from the penalty of sin. Because actually God is a just and fair and righteous God. He hates evil. And yet all of us have turned our backs on him. And what that deserves is condemnation. What that deserves is punishment. That is true for every human being who has ever lived, except for one. And yet, Jesus came to save us from our sins. I'd like to read some verses from later on in the Gospels. What does Jesus say in his own words about what he came to do? Now, I think you'll be familiar, or lots of people are familiar with the first bit that I'm going to say. But actually, the second bit is a bit less well known. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, lots of people, even if you're not a Christian this morning, lots of people have heard that at least once. Maybe you've heard that this morning. But what about this next thing that Jesus said? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is why Jesus came, so that whoever believes in Jesus, whoever follows him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. And not only that, but will not be condemned, but will be saved. This is what it means to be saved by Jesus, is to be able to stand before God, guilty as we are, for him to say, you are not condemned. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that wonderful? That not because of anything that we've done, but entirely because of what Jesus has done, we can stand before God and not be condemned. Now, for some reason, if you're a Christian here today, sometimes it's at the times of year when actually, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. We should be happy, we're celebrating, we're feasting, enjoying Christmas, and yet sin raises its ugly head, even at Christmas. As we argue with our relatives, as we have to, you know, get some time on our own because our relatives are just driving us mad. There was an article about that I was reading recently. An alarming number of people have to take themselves off on Christmas Day just for a break from their relatives. I don't think I'll need to do that. But it's true. That is often the case. People argue, people are bitter. We look at other people's Christmases and other people's gifts and other people's family situations and we're jealous, we're envious. Or right when we're supposed to be happiest and we're surrounded by friends and family, the effects of sin and our mental health struggles that we're battling suddenly flares up in the middle of Christmas. And we're reminded that this world is messed up by sin. We see sin around us. And we see the sin inside of us. And we're just left feeling flat. And we can be left feeling, when it's our own sin, we can be left feeling, oh, how can God accept me? Surely God can only condemn me. And we feel condemned. We feel unworthy. And yet the wonderful news of Christmas, that Jesus did not come to condemn you. Jesus came to save you. So if that's you, at any point over the Christmas period, take some time to remind yourself, praise God, Jesus did not come to condemn me, and I do not stand condemned before him. Jesus came to save me. And if you're not a Christian here today, it's wonderful that you're here. Or if you're listening online, thank you for listening. Can I tell you, as we reach the end of this year and another one begins, what you need more than anything else, you don't need to get better. You don't need to become the best version of yourself. You don't need to take yourself off to find yourself. 2024 doesn't need to be about self-improvement. What you need is a rescuer. It's what we all need. We need a rescuer. And wonderfully, we have Jesus who came to save us. So that's the first name. And we're going to spend a little bit more time in a minute on the second name, if my voice is still, if I still have my voice.
Going to sing it up.
Did you see the words of that last verse there? Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. That's why he was born. So back in Matthew, for a little bit longer. So Jesus was called Jesus because he would save us from our sin. And we see in the rest of Matthew chapter 1, that Jesus is given another name, Emmanuel. Sorry. So Jesus, this is our second thing. He was named Emmanuel because he is God with us. That is what the name Emmanuel means. So find Matthew again. Hopefully you've still got it open next to you. Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verses 22 to 23. So all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So all through Matthew's gospel, Matthew says again and again this little phrase, all this took place to fulfill what was written, dot, dot, dot. And then he quotes. And he quotes from the first half of the Bible. Because what Matthew wants us to see as we read Matthew's gospel is that Jesus didn't just pop up out of the blue, but that actually for hundreds, thousands of years before, we had been waiting for him, that the prophets had predicted, prophesied, that Jesus would come. We call him the mess fixer sometimes in our house. And Isaiah, because Matthew's quoting Isaiah here, predicts that the virgin will conceive and will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah prophesied that there would one come a day where, incredibly, a virgin would conceive and give birth to a baby, and that this baby would be God with us. The point being that this baby, born in some random town 2,000 years ago, is actually God himself. And that God is no longer some deity in the sky that we can't understand, can't know, some far-off figure. Maybe that's how you think of God. The Bible says that's not what God is like. God is now with us, lives among us as this person, Jesus. I discovered a YouTube video that I really like. It's a little bit old, isn't it? 2012, well, it's not that old, but it's called President Obama Makes a Surprise Visit. It's a very simple video where President Obama, when he was president, just makes a surprise visit to a cafe. And when you watch this video and you see people's reactions, you think he was like Taylor Swift or someone that is It was incredible because as soon as he walks in, suddenly people see what's happening. And suddenly people are cheering, people are clapping, people are whooping. He comes in and he goes to the counter. And you can see people have got their cameras out, got their phones out to take pictures of him or videos. But you can see they're sweating as well. They're sweating, they're slightly nervous as well because it's the president of the United States. And he's coming to our cafe and he's ordering a burger and a milkshake or whatever. And he's going around and he's shaking people's hands, asking them about their lives. But the president of the United States just walking among ordinary people and they are absolutely blown away. What is going on? Now here's something even more amazing that the Bible tells us. That God himself, the creator of the world, the ruler of the world, became a human being and lived among us. This baby, this newborn baby that we read about, Jesus Christ, he would have been crying, he would have been smelly. This newborn baby is God himself. And when we read later in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and we see this grown man walking and talking, living among people, we read that these are the words and the actions and the emotions of God. It's incredible. A wonderful reminder in this that actually God is not far off, but that actually at Christmas God comes near and he wants to be known and he can be known. Do you know God this morning? God became a man, he became a human being so that we might know him, so that we might have a relationship with him. Even though we don't deserve one, we can have that. We can have a relationship and we can know him. Maybe you're making New Year's resolutions. What if your New Year's resolution was just to get to know God better through Jesus? Because you can. We can know God, which is incredible. And as we sit down over the Christmas period, hopefully we'll be able to sit down and enjoy delicious food, good times with friends and family. As we enjoy all these wonderful Christmas joys, these are just tasters and just shadows of the most wonderful thing about Christmas, that Jesus Christ came and that God is now with us. Now, if you're not a Christian today, this figure that Isaiah talks about in the Old Testament, Emmanuel, is not just born of a virgin, but he is God himself, and he is the king and ruler of the whole world. And Isaiah goes on to talk about what this king is like. About he is the king on the throne and his reign never ends and it's a kingdom of love and peace and justice and righteousness. And Jesus is the king that we want and the king that we need. And so if you're not a Christian and you're listening this morning, can I just encourage you that there is no better thing for you to do today, for you to do this Christmas, than to say yes. I want Jesus to be my king. And you can do that because the person who says that, who says, look, I'm sorry for my sin, but I want Jesus to be my God and my king and I love him. Whoever does that can be forgiven and can have a fresh start with God. Christ was born to save. And Jesus Christ is Emmanuel because he is God with us. I'm going to hand over to Phil and introduce our final song.